1340 96.5 KVGC on the phone with me, a very busy Dr. Allison Pillsbury from Acorn Hills Animal Hospital. And Dr. Pillsbury, first off, I just want to thank you for giving us the time to do this interview. Since Wednesday, there's been an epidemic. I mean, can we call it an epidemic of canine flu in Amador County?
Yes, it can be called an epidemic of the influenza A virus family that we're seeing in these dogs.
Now, Dr. Pillsbury, has this always been around? Has the dog flu always been here with us?
Well, it has, or it was first seen in around 2004 and 2005 in Florida. It first showed up in the greyhounds down there, the racing greyhounds, and they felt it may have been a substrain of the horse flu virus that was down there.
Okay. Now, again, much like the human flu, this canine influenza, it's a respiratory disease. I always go, when Dr. Hartman was practicing and he would come visit with us, I would always give him a bad time about the flu being, you know, upset stomach, diarrhea, that type. But the flu is actually a respiratory disease or an illness. And this is the same with dogs, too?
Yes, it is. This is a respiratory virus that is actually has much worse implications than just the straight kennel cough. So it looks like kennel cough at the beginning, which is the Bordetella or the group of pathogens that we call Bordetella. But this one really hits hard and can cause severe pneumonias and actually causes vomiting because they're coughing so hard. It really hits the system and the immune system very strongly.
We're talking to Dr. Allison Pillsbury from Acorn Hills Animal Hospital. So, Dr. Pillsbury, how would we know that does this affect cats and other domesticated animals too, or just dogs?
Well, the primary host is the dog. There, I think, have been a few reports of cats. It hasn't been substantiated. And I'm not getting into the human part, but at this point I would say there's very little risk that humans are going to get this, but the viruses are not asimilar.
So how would we know when our dog has the canine influenza virus?
The first reports that we get are they're just not feeling well, there's a soft cough, they go off their food, and then they start getting really sick. It's just like us with a really, really severe cold. You just start feeling bad. You get a fever. You don't want to eat. But in our busy world today, some of those things are, they're just off for the day. So there's a higher chance of these viruses really getting into the dogs and becoming very pathogenic in the sense that these dogs get very, very sick. They have a lot of phlegm that they bring up. They've got the fevers. They do the vomiting. They don't want to eat. They become dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And, again, it can go to a severe pneumonia, which can be life-threatening. But so far, the ones that we're seeing are coming through well with support therapy, fluids, anti-nausea medications, anti-cough medications, things to try and make them feel better in the face of letting their immune system come up and fight it.
Dr. Pillsbury, should we isolate our dogs? Should we keep, like, knock on wood, I don't think that my son's dog is living with this for a year, and he hasn't had contact with any dogs, but should I keep him in our yard or in our house all the time?
Well, I think the best thing for this, to try and nip this spread in the bud, is to realize that it comes into an area. It is not a seasonal virus like the flu virus in people. Mm-hmm. It's here all the time, but we've been very lucky in Amador County to not have it come in. This is the first time where it's really hit. And, you know, it's a lot of it is from, or a lot of it originates in places like show rings or boarding facilities or transporting rescue dogs from one rescue group to another, and that's how it comes into shelters. They're having to take in animals. They don't know that they are brewing this virus, and it can take off like wildfire. So the whole goal is right now, keep your dogs at home. I would stay away from boarding facilities until they have been able to really clean things up. Try and minimize dog parks and walks where you have animals or dogs that you don't know, trying to let it run its course and leave this county forever.
Now, I'm sitting here doing this interview with you, I'm looking across the street, and there is a lady walking her dog down Main Street here in Jackson. Should she actually have that dog at home?
I would say no, because the virus is a pretty fragile virus. It does not like dry surfaces. You have to clean. It does live on surfaces and clothing and hands for a short period of time. It's not like the parvovirus that will stick around for, you know, a year. So her walking down the road and taking a nice brisk walk, you know, I wouldn't let my dog sniff another dog or touch another person at that point. I would, you know, the exercise is really necessary and good, but it's very controlled and contained. If you have 10 dogs all walking together and they're all panting and making those little aerosolized droplets that are carrying the virus, that's in, and especially in a moist situation, a boarding facility, whatever, it's going to give that virus a chance to spread very easily.
Dr. Pillsbury, how long does the virus live outside the dog? Let's say a dog that has it comes into the radio station here, and it walks in, and then it walks out. How long, let's say he slobbered and dropped some saliva on the ground or whatever, how long does that live? Or if I see the dog and go, hello, boy, hey, good boy, pet the dog and don't immediately go wash my hands, which I'm assuming we should probably do now, how long does that virus live on my hands and on the saliva on the floor here?
So I've been asking that same question. this virus is pretty fragile.
Okay.
So I think in something like that kind of a setting, wash your hands after saying hi, you know, a quick wipe of where the dog has been, and hopefully that person gets the dog home so it is not spreading the virus around. So it's kind of like when you have a bad cold, you try and clean door handles and clean the area where they've been with a good antiseptic and trying to keep things as clean as possible, and don't take the dogs out that are doing the coughing. If you're walking a coughing dog, you shouldn't be walking a coughing dog.
Now, is this affecting adoptions at the animal shelter?
I cannot answer that question for you.
Okay.
I know they are on high alert. They are monitoring everything. We have a absolutely fabulous shelter up here.
Yeah,
we have a great group of people in there. So I know their dog walking, I believe, has gone down just so that there is not any movement and trying to literally hole up so that this thing can pass through.
Now, there's
and we will see it again. We will see
we
it
will,
again.
So this is with us to stay?
Yeah, and it just as more and more dogs are being transported around, it'll raise its head again. And it just depends on which strain and how virulent the virus is will tell us how severe each phase will be.
Now, what about the vaccine? There's a vaccine to protect against the flu?
There is a vaccine out there. It's a killed vaccine. It's like the rabies vaccine. The virus is dead, that we use, that will cover both the H3N2 and the H3N8. You have to realize with any vaccine, once at the point of injection, at the point of vaccine, that dog is not protected. It takes 2 to 3 weeks for the immune system to begin responding to that vaccine.
Okay.
And then that's when we booster that vaccine to try and stimulate the response that's in that dog to go to a higher level. So we try and get as much of a response as possible. That doesn't mean a vaccinated dog will not get this canine influenza that's going through, because we've had two dogs that are very well vaccinated for this, and they have broken with this dog flu.
All right. Now, do you have this vaccine? Does your office do this?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do, and again, it's that issue of it's not a core vaccine like the rabies and the distemper.
Yeah.
We could have been vaccinating all these years, but it's really tough to tell people, okay, now you have to vaccinate. Here's a whole other vaccine that you have to give. So knowing that this epidemic is here, being able to vaccinate and give some protection, we hope, is the way to go. And yes, we do have the vaccine available.
Talking with Dr. Allison Pillsbury, Acorn Hills. Dr. Pillsbury, we'll wrap this up here because we know you need to get back to. I imagine your clinic's been inundated with calls and with animals. When someone brings their animal to you, do you want them first to call? And do you meet them out at the car, or do you have people bring the animals in? What happens?
If we get a call for a coughing dog or a dog that has anything that looks like it might be the flu vaccine, they literally drive in, park at a far end. They call us. We go out.
Okay.
We do a physical and all the treatments, the fluids and anything that could help the dog, antibiotics, the injectables that we can give are given in the car, and we are we're gloved and we spray down with disinfectant. We do not come in contact with that dog with our skin, so we are very well protected. And the dog is not out in the parking lot coughing and spewing droplets.
Right. Right.
If they do come out and they bring their dog in, we literally clear the area, spray everything down, have them go back to their car, and we use disinfectants that are specific for these kind of viruses.
All right, so let me wrap this up with just a few more questions. The big question is Amador County Fair coming up, you know, less than 30 days away now. There is no chance that this canine influenza will affect any of the other animals if they have come in contact with a dog that is suffering from the influenza, correct? Is that what you told me at the beginning of this?
What I would say is, you know, if you've had a dog with the influenza virus, one, do not take it to the fair.
What about your dog that's come in contact with your sheep or your pig or your goats or your you know, cattle that are going to come to the fair? There's no problem with that?
Well, most dogs, the working dogs maybe, but most dogs are not going up to the sheep and the pigs and out really where there's going to be any direct contact or contact that would allow the flu virus to have contact back and forth. As far as I would defer more to the CDC, just only because I'm not an epidemiologist. I would tell you that I would be cautious with taking your dog to the fair. I know everybody loves to do that, but I think that would stop any issue of transference.
You know, the fair, and we don't want to get on the fair here, but they practice very, it's called biosecurity, and it has to do with all the animals, and that's another topic that we can talk about some other day. They're very strict with this, too. So anyway, to wrap this up, so again, to keep this from spreading from dog to dog, avoid allowing your dogs to either socialize with other dogs or participate in any group dog training activities, correct?
Correct.
And even dogs that aren't exhibiting the signs of the illness can still be contagious? Is that true?
Yes. Well, it's just like us. You can have a cold. You don't know you have the cold, but you are contagious. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keeping your dog in, looking for any basic change in how they're doing, a lack of appetite, yes, and a dog can get through the incident of having that virus, and then usually within about 7 to 10 days, they are virus-free and should not be shedding at that time. But I would still say, you know, there's no sense in testing those waters
and
go back to an area where there has been a large load of this virus.
So, Allison, that's something that we didn't touch on. How long does it take this to run its course? My dog has it today. How long? 2 weeks?
Well, we've been seeing from the time that we first see them where they're just starting into the coughing and malaise and frothing and a little bit of coughing, vomiting. It has taken 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
So it's a pretty long-lived virus.
Yeah. And once again, to make this clear, if my dog has the canine influenza, I don't have to stay home with the dog. I can go to work. I can go about my regular business. Should I change my clothes before I go out? You know, again, do we carry this on our... Because I would hate to have... You know, someone with an infected dog unknowingly carry it to some place else where another dog could catch it.
Well, it's not like the parvovirus where it's being carried around on shoes.
Okay.
And it's not that kind of really, really strong virus. So washing your hands, not if you do have a dog that is definitely influenza positive. You know, not letting them cough all over you or rub all over you is probably your best bet. It's going to be protective for the other dogs that you might come in contact with. So keeping all of that in mind, I think people can go around and do their normal business, do everything that they're doing. Just make sure as you leave your house, wash your hands.
Sure.
Realize, and don't touch, you know, don't pet another dog that may be coughing.
It would be like you're treating one of your family members for the flu, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Pillsbury, I want to thank you very much for taking the time. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this that we haven't touched on?
No, I can't wait for this to do a wave through, and hopefully it waves going on the way out and doesn't come back. But, you know, this has been really hard on owners and on the dogs and on the businesses. I just want to say thank you to all the people that have been so understanding, and I'm sorry that this has come into the area.
And we should also mention this is not just in our area. This is in other areas throughout the state, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It just hops around, and it hops throughout the United States. It's been in most states, and it's the same presentation, and it comes on. It looks like kennel cough, but it's not. It's a lot more virulent.
Gotcha. Dr. Pillsbury, if folks want to get a hold of you at Acorn Hills, what's the number there?
It is 267-5554, and thank you for your patience. I know my receptionists have been inundated, and we are trying to give as much information as we can.
Dr. Pillsbury.
You've been in this community, and you've passed on so much wonderful information, and I thank you for letting me do this. This is something that hopefully we can educate as many people on this rough time.
Great. Dr. Pillsbury, thank you for taking the time with us.
Thank you very much.